Let's open them up this morning, and we're going to take a look at what we were working on Tuesday. Amen. And for those that weren't here on Tuesday, we began to deal with a series here of learning how to be led by the Spirit of God.
Yes. Thank you.
You know, we ought to get to the place in our lives where we get fed up with figuring out what to do after the fact. Or asking that question, well, why did I do this?
Right.
Or something told me to do that.
Amen.
Well, let's just go ahead on and learn how to be led by the Spirit of God and get it right the first time. You know, God is not a God of chance.
Amen.
All right. And God's intention for us is for us to hit the target every single time.
Amen.
The problem isn't that God isn't speaking. The problem is we either aren't listening or we don't know how to listen or what to listen for. All right. So this is why we're in this study, so that we can learn and how to develop our ears, spiritual ear, to hear God.
Amen.
All right. Let's start out this morning in 1 John. We're going to back up for a few minutes here, pick up on some things that we discussed on Tuesday, and then we'll move on from there. But in 1 John chapter 2, I want to read a couple of scriptures here. Verse 20 says, but ye have an unction. That word unction is another way you could say it is an anointing. So you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Now, we could have backed up a couple of more scriptures and read over into this. But a lot of people use this scripture to say that they don't need a pastor or they don't need leadership. But this scripture has absolutely nothing to do with that. What this scripture is talking about is, if you go back over in verse 15, it says that there are antichrists that have been released into the earth. And the antichrist isn't, you know, we know that there is a person who will be the antichrist, but the spirit of the antichrist is functioning now.
Amen.
Anything that goes against the plans and the purposes and the ways of God is a form of the antichrist. And so what this scripture is saying is that you have received something from the Holy One who lives on the inside of you, and you don't have to be afraid of being misled by the spirit of the Antichrist. All right. But then if you drop down here to verse 20, let's read verse 26. It says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that would seduce you, concerning them that would mislead you, concerning those that who are trying to trick you. So this is what he says. These are the things that I write unto you concerning that. The anointing which you have received of him that abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie. And even as I had taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, notice this scripture here also says that you don't have to be concerned about being misled, because the Holy One that lives on the inside of you has placed an anointing on you. And if you'll learn how to live in union and in communion with that anointing and the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you won't be led astray. But notice the scripture here says that you have to remain in and walk with him who lives on the inside of you. So if you're not going to make the point to stay connected to God, stay connected to the Spirit of God on the inside of you, then there's a good opportunity for you to be deceived, because the anointing that is going to keep you in a place to where you're not being deceived, you have to be led by the Spirit of God to benefit or to flow in that. So now it says here that God's intention is for you not to be deceived in any area of your life. A lot of times we look at the scriptures and we read these scriptures and we think that God is only concerned about us spiritually. But God is concerned about every aspect of your life. And he wants you to know what is true concerning your finances, what is true concerning your family, what is true concerning you spiritually, what is true concerning your life, period. So we never have to be in a place of wonderment when it comes to what should we do. We have an anointing from the Holy One, from the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. And if we'll learn how to plug into him, then we'll always have leadership and guidance, and you'll make the right decision every single time. And you won't find yourself asking that question, why did I do this? Or why didn't I do that? All right. Now, let's also go over to Romans chapter 8. Pick up a few things here. Because I'm going to look at some things that we talked about on Tuesday and then we'll move on. Romans chapter 8. And when you get there, let's look at verse 16. Well, no. Not verse 16. Let's verse 14. Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, I believe once again that the words, the way the words are put together in this book means something. And this scripture here says, "For they that are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God." And why did it say they're the children of God? Because I believe that God wanted to point out here in this particular scripture that when you're being led by the Spirit of God, you are entering or you are reaching or you are walking in a level of maturity. Children aren't led by the Spirit of God. They're led by everything else. But this scripture here wants us to see that in order for you to start plugging in and hearing from God, you're going to have to make the decision and I have to grow up. Now you say, well, what about those who just got saved yesterday? Well, if they make the decision to be led by the Spirit of God, that is a mature decision. And as they walk with God and flow with God, God will lead them. Thank you, Lord. It's not about the number of years or the time that you've been saved. It's about the decisions that you'll make. And if you'll make the decision to be led by the anointing, the unction that you've received from the Holy One, then you are making a mature decision. Therefore, God is going to deal with you as a son. And he'll lead you in the places and to the things that you are desiring to get to. But the problem is we have a lot of children in the house of God and not a lot of sons, not a lot of mature people. Well, I've been saved for 70 years. That makes no difference. We don't want to know how long you've been in church. What we want to know is what's the level of maturity that you've reached. Because if you can't hear God, there are people that have been saved for years and still don't know how to hear God. Been in the church for years and they can't bit more tell you when the Spirit of God is leading or directing them than the unsaved. But then there are those that have been in church and could have been here a short while and have made the decision that I'm going to go with God. And they are training or have trained themselves to hear God and God leads them. So if you want to be led by the Spirit of God, then you're going to have to make the decision. I'm going to grow up. What am I saying by grow up? I'm going to start living in agreement to what God has said. Because you cannot do both. Now, prove that to you. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. So the sons are led, or in other words, mature individuals put themselves in a position to be led by the Spirit of God. Immature individuals don't. Because notice what it says here about children. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. Now look at what it's just how it describes children. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The Amplified Bible says that we no longer be children, tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every change of doctrine. Just waving back and forth. That sounds good. This sounds good. Well, maybe this and what about that? If it says children are undecisive, they're back and forth, up and down. But sons are led. You ought to come to the place in your life where you said, look, I'm tired and I'm fed up with letting everything else lead my life other than the Spirit of God. Circumstances are leading. Those are chances back and forth, up and down. This preacher sounds better than that preacher, so I'll go over here. Well, that sounds too hard. This is a little easier. You're back and forth. Mama said do this. Auntie said do that. Well, that is a mark of an immature individual. That is a mark of an individual who is seeking direction but does not know where to find it. And everybody, whether saved or unsaved, is seeking to make the right decision. The problem is that the born again believer ought to know where to find it. We should not still be acting like the unsaved, wandering aimlessly through life with no direction. We should have direction for where we're going. God is intending on you arriving at the destination that he has already predestinated for you to arrive at. But you can't get there without him. All right. So, are you a mature individual who has made the decision to follow the leadership and the direction of the Holy Ghost? Or are you still being tossed to and fro? Or are you an immature individual that has not made up their mind to go after God, but you have allowed circumstances, you allow what you can see, what you can hear, what they say, what they tell you to lead and guide you? All right? Now, only you can determine which one you are. I made my mind up. I want to be a son. I want to be led. I need to know where I'm going. You know, making the wrong decision costs money and time. And I got tired of spending both of them. I want to be on track. I want to be where I'm supposed to be at the time that I'm supposed to be there. You want to be where you're supposed to be at the time that you're supposed to be there. Do you believe that there are divine appointments that God has for each and every one of us in this room? There are places that you are supposed to be in life. How do you know that that's true? Abram, leave this place and go to a place that I'm going to show you. There is a divine appointment for you over here. And you can go all through the scriptures. There were places that God has for us that we're supposed to arrive at a certain time in life. And if you're not being led by the Spirit of God, you may not make it. Now, so we see here that mature individuals allow God to lead them. And I want God to lead me as you should want God to lead you. Now, is the reason that we need to be led by the Spirit of God? Well, John chapter 16 says this about the Spirit of God. It said the Spirit of God's job is to lead and to guide us into all truth. And not only is he to lead and to guide us into all truth, but it says also that he will speak to us about things that should come in the future. And then he also goes on and says in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that's going to lead and guide us is going to take and receive and draw upon what belongs to Jesus and declare and transmit it and disclose it to us. So that is a benefit that God has provided for you through his leadership. Now, what does all that have to do with you, the importance of being led by the Spirit of God? Well, let's look at Isaiah chapter 1. God just don't want to just say, well, I just want, I mean, well, Psalm chapter 1. God is just not saying, well, I want to be the boss and I want to run everything. That's not why he's saying this. God knows what he has in store for you, and what he has in store for you is far better than what you can ever dream up on your own. Now, Psalms chapter 1. Verse 1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffer. The Amplified Bible says, blessed is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly. Stop getting your advice and your plans and your purposes from folks that don't know God. Now, notice it says, blessed is the man who doesn't do that. So if you're listening to everybody else and everything else, if you're that child being tossed to and fro, then the operation of the blessing isn't working in your life the way it's supposed to. Because it says, blessed is the man that doesn't do that. Also, it says, blessed is the man who does not stand and does not participate and practice and walk in the path that the sinners walk in. Which means you cannot live a sinful life and think that you're going to flow in the blessing and hear from God. Let me tell you right now, what I'm talking about this morning, sinners cannot do. So quit trying to encourage a sinner to hear from God. They can't. They don't have the necessary equipment on the inside to hear from God. So why are you going to go ask them, what should you do? You go sit down and lay on the couch with the ungodly psychiatrist and tell them your problem, and they tell you what to do. Psychic hotlines, TV, Oprah, Dr. Field, all these people we want to watch. If they're not born again, then the Bible says that if you don't follow their instructions, then the blessing will work for you, because God will rise up and lead you. And wherever God is leading you, the blessing will follow. So it says, blessed is the individual who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who does not hang out with sinners, and who does not sit and rest and relax where the mockers are, those who talk about your God all the time. If your best friends are those who want to make jokes about your Christianity all the time, then those should not be your friend. You know why it says this? It's because eventually that will contaminate you. Hang around them long enough, it'll start to contaminate your faith. So bless. The blessing is what is at stake here. I want the blessing. You need the blessing working in your life. Well, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And when you're led by the Spirit of God, the empowerment of God can work in your life. All right? So that's what's at stake here. The empowerment. We need the blessing. It's not that we're not blessed. There's no way for a child of God not to be blessed. You know why? Because the Bible says he's already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So whether or not you're blessed is not the question. How much of the operation of the blessing is working in your life? Now, there's the question. You have it, but how much of it is working? How much of your life is being made fruitful? How much of your life is multiplying? Do you see overflowing going on in your life? Do you see victory going on in your life? How much of the blessing are you experiencing? That can be directly measured by how much of God is operating in you or leading your life. They're going to coincide with one another. If you're following God, you're plugged into God, then the anointing that you've received from the Holy One is working. The blessing's equipping. The blessing's opening the doors for you. The blessing's providing favor for you. And you're just flowing with God. But if you're being tossed to and fro, your faith is not engaged. You're being led by circumstances. And circumstances are robbing you of the operation of the blessing in your life. It's just that simple. Now, we started in on this on Tuesday, because truly for you to understand how significant this teaching is, you have to understand the makeup of how you're made up. You have to understand that if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God, why are you to be led by the Spirit of God? Why can't you be led by your soulish man? Why can't your body lead you? And until you understand how you're designed, you begin to you'll miss the essence of what God says you are to be led by your spirit. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says that God said. This is what God said now. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So man was created in the image and likeness of God. All right. Man was created in the image and in the likeness of God. You are created in the image and in the likeness of God. Say that one more time. You and I, we are created in the image and in the likeness of God. Now, if that's true, then what does God look like? Well, John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is a spirit. So if I'm made in the image and the likeness of God and God is a spirit, then the real you is a spirit. Because you are made in the image and the likeness of God. When we look at one another, we do not see the real us. We see the shell that we live in. The real us is on the inside, and it is spirit. You are a spiritual being. You are not some physical thing just floating around until you die and go back to the dust. No, you have a spirit. You are a spirit, rather. And the spirit man on the inside is what's created in the image of God. And that's who you are. That's the real you. All right. Now, in order for me to go into outer space and be able to operate, I have to do what? Put on a space suit. We don't see the astronaut in the spacesuit and say, that's the astronaut. The spacesuit is not the astronaut. That's the suit that he has to put on to operate in his environment. The real person is inside the suit. Well, we don't look at each other's physical bodies and say, that's the real person. No, your physical body just allows you to operate within this environment. The real you is on the inside of you. This is your earth suit. And you won't need it in the realm. You don't need it when you go to heaven. You don't have to have a physical body to function in heaven. Now, you will have a glorified body, but it won't be a physical body. So now we see that God is a spirit, and the real you and I, we are a spirit because we're made in the image and the likeness of God. Now, the soulish man. Now, I said this on Tuesday. The problem with the world and immature Christians is that the world thinks in terms of body, soul, and spirit. And you know that to be true. Any commercial that comes on television from the world, they never say spirit, soul, and body. They always say body, soul, and spirit, or they just say body and soul and never say spirit, because that's all they are aware of. And if you're an immature Christian, that's all you're aware of. But the problem with that is that you were created spirit, soul, and body, because spirit should be in control of what's going on in your life. But they've been inverted. Now, here's the problem. The spirit of man is able to contact the spirit realm. The soul of man is it sets you apart and gives you your identity and makes you different than everybody else in this room. Your physical body was designed for you to contact and enjoy this physical realm. But when they got inverted, the body went up on top, and all the body wants to do is feel good. All the body wants to do is play and have a party. So if it doesn't feel good to the body doesn't want to do it anymore. If it calls for there to be some type of discipline, the body rejects that because it doesn't feel good. That's why you enjoy sin. That's why sinners enjoy. Why? Because it makes the body feel good. Well, the body was never supposed to be in charge in the first place. You see what happens when you put a fool in charge? You get foolish stuff. So your body's running the show, and you come to church and you hear the word of God, and the word of God starts applying pressure and discipline to that flesh, and the flesh begins to buck and run because the flesh does not want to submit to that because it doesn't feel good to me. I can't enjoy. My body doesn't enjoy that. Now, you can train your body, but we'll get to that later. So this is why it needs to be spirit, which contacts spirit, which can contact God and get direction. And your spirit is supposed to align everything else up in your makeup. So now the soulish part of you is where decisions, reasonings are made. The soulish man basically is your feeler, how you feel. Your chooser, your will, and your thinker, your mind. That's the soulish makeup. That's the part of you that causes operation to go on in your life. Now, let's look here at Luke real quick. Luke chapter 12. We're going to go through this because I want to get a little further today than we got on Tuesday. Now, the soulish man. Why shouldn't we be led by our soul? Here's why you shouldn't be led by your soul. Because the soulish man will only be as strong and as useful as the information that's in it. The soulish man, in particular, I'm talking about the mind, how you think, basically is like a computer program. If all you have is bad information, all you're going to get out is bad information. So if all you have in your soulish man is a bunch of junk, when decision making time comes up, all you are able to draw on is junk. Now, I'm going to prove some things to you here in a second. Well, what about my spirit? I'm going to show you something here in a second. Now, let's look here at Luke chapter 12. Now, here's a story about a rich man. Let's read verse 17. Verse 17 says, and he thought or reasoned within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to store my goods or my fruit. And he said, he's going to pull down his barns. That's the idea that he came up with. But verse 19 goes on and says, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, here was a wealthy man. He was a farmer. He had produced much goods. And now he has all these goods. And the Bible here says he began to think or reason within himself. So he began to go into his soulish realm to figure out what to do instead of going to God. And that's what you do when you start reasoning within yourself. You have access to God, but most of God's people do what this man right here did. They start questioning themselves, questioning their soulish man. What should I do? Now, this man had covetous information on the inside of him, in his soul. So when he accessed it, what did he get out? Bad information based on covetousness. Here's how it works. God speaks to us through our spirits. Because God contacts us, we contact God through our spirit. God speaks to us through our spirits. So when God sends an answer up out of your spirit, the example we used on Tuesday, you having money problems. And your money is getting a little tight. And you get on your knees and you start asking God, well, what am I supposed to do here? Well, the Spirit of God quickens and rise up on the inside of you and sends up a word and says, here's what I need for you to do. Next time you get to church or next time you go over here, I want you to sow $100. Now, mine has not been reprogrammed yet. It still has bad information in there. So that comes up out of your spirit, hits your mind, because it has to come through the soulish man for it to operate in you. You got to agree with it. So it hits your mind, and your mind said, that does not make good sense to me. I don't even have any money. You telling me I got to give away $100 too? So what does your mind say do? Discard it. That was the answer for your problem that God sent via your spirit, but your mind had a bad program still in there. And so when it hits your mind said delete, because that doesn't make sense to me. You're still being tossed to and fro. Now, if your mind was renewed and you've been in the scriptures and you know the word of God says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For God loves a cheerful giver, and all the scriptures sow your seed in the morning and don't hold your hand back in. You know, all those scriptures of giving, you've been reprogramming your mind with them. And now you get into a financial crunch and you get on your knees and say, Lord, what do I need to do? And the Spirit of God arises up on the inside of you and says, now, next time you go over here, I need for you to sow $100. You'll say, glory to God. That's exactly what I need to do. And you'll get up and you'll do it. And the blessing will come online and make fruitful, cause to multiply and overflow. But when your mind is not renewed and all is in there is bad information, you disregard the wisdom of God every single time. This is why you're not to be led by your soulish man. He's plugged in the soulish man truly until you train it. The soulish man is plugged into the senses of the world, the sense mechanism, what it can see, feel, hear, taste, and touch. And it perceives that as real until you train it to think opposite. From day one, the moment you enter school, they start training you to operate on this, what you can see, feel, hear, taste, and touch. And that's where your soulish man, until it gets retrained, that's where he operates from. Because that's what's real to him. That's what's been put in there. This is why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you don't renew your mind to truth, what the word of God has to say about it, if you don't put this book in you and reprogram how you think, how you see it, how you feel about it, then every single time the Spirit of God says something to you through your spirit, you will disregard it. You will disregard it. Anytime God sends a godly individual to you to give you a word of wisdom, you'll say they just trying to rob me or something. The doctors say, well, we see this and we think you're going to die. You agree with them and the Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've been saved a little while now, so I know this to be true. You will hear the Spirit of God inside of you screaming the word at you. But because your mind is unrenewed, you won't pay attention to it. It'll override what your spirit is trying to do for you because you deem what your soul says as truth and you what your spirit says, you don't see that as truth in your life. This is what the Bible is for. The Bible is to help you mentally understand spiritually what's going on in your life because God leads you through your spirit, not through the soulish man. So what is powerful enough to change your soul? Because if I need to renew my soulish man, what has God given to us to help us renew it? Well, that's where James chapter 1 comes in. I believe it's verse 21. It says that you have to welcome and receive the word of God, which has been engrafted within you. Where has the word of God been engrafted in you? What does engraft mean? It means it's been attached, pressed on, stamped in there, woven in. It has become a part of you. Where in your makeup has that happened? Well, there's a scripture that says that God in the Old Testament, God told them that I was going to write my word up on your heart. Well, when the Holy Spirit came in, the word of God was then engrafted within you, but it's engrafted in your spirit, not your soulish man. See, your spirit got recreated. You got to go do something about your own soul and your own body. So the Bible says that you have to welcome and receive the word which has been engrafted within you because in it contains the power to save your soul. Your soul has to be saved. It didn't get saved when you got born again. How many of y'all, when y'all got born again, you automatically started thinking everything different? Didn't happen, did it? The same dumb thought that you had the day before you got saved was the same dumb thought you was having a week afterwards. You know why? The program's still running. You got to go and delete that one and put a new one in. Well, you can't just go say, well, I'll just delete that one and then do nothing. You got to go and you got to upload some new information in there. And that's the word of God. You got to retrain your mind to think this way. Think this way. Yeah, I know I don't care what you see, mind. I don't care what you're feeling right now. We have to think this way. What did the word say? That's how we have to think about it. And if you do that, if you defer to the word long enough, it will reprogram how you think. And then the word of God will become your way of thinking. All right. So the soulish man is the operating part of man. The spirit of man should be the control center. The control center sends power through the outlet. Isn't that correct? The outlet, if you want to benefit from what the control center is sending through the outlet, you got to plug something in. So if I plug in a lamp, it does what to the light bulb? It causes it to glow. Well, the light bulb will be the soulish man. If you'll plug it into the control, into what the control center is sending, illumination comes. But if you never plug in, then the light bulb stays what? Dark. Now we're back to what Quantrell's been teaching for the last 2 weeks. It's not God holding us back, people. And it's not the devil holding you back. If I don't drill anything else into Works of Faith Ministries members, if I don't get anything else in, I'm going to get this one fact in. It is not God is not your problem, and the devil is not your problem. You are your problem. I'm going to make sure you know, quit blaming God and quit blaming the devil and look at yourself. Because you are the deciding factor of whether you lose or whether you win at the game of life. It is you. It is not God. God is not going to hold you back. God is on your side, and he has stripped the devil of his power to hold you back. You are the problem because you won't plug in. And if you do, you plug in for a while. And the moment I yank the plug out of the socket, what happens to the light bulb? It goes out. That is the same thing in the spirit. The moment you disconnect from the anointing that you've received from the Holy One, the light bulb goes out. Darkness takes over. And now you're back to being tossed to and fro because you don't know what to do. It doesn't matter whether or not you, well, you know what? Back in 1999, I was hearing God good. It's 2012. What are you doing to hear God in 2012? And then you won't be able to say in 2013, well, in 2012, boy, me and God. No, what are you doing in 2013? You have to stay plugged in if you want the light bulb to stay on. Now, just because I yanked the plug out of the socket doesn't mean the control center isn't supplying electricity, is it? It's still flowing. You just aren't plugged in. And see, God's people, you're in and out, up and down, back and forth. It's because you haven't learned yet how to live out of the spirit man and let him run the show. So, we don't allow our spirits to lead us. Now, let's deal with this body issue. The body, the body shouldn't be controlling. It was never designed to control anything in the first place. So we said the control center sent electricity to the light socket. Your soul would be plugged to plug into it. The light bulb comes on. That's your soul. Well, the lamp stand itself would be your body. It doesn't do anything. It just sits there. It's just there until it's trained to do something. The problem is our bodies have been trained to sin. But you can retrain it. But it's not supposed to be leading your life. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says that what? You have to do what? Present your bodies unto God, a living sacrifice. You have to present it. It didn't say God was going to break you and make you do it. Okay? I don't know where God's people got that thinking that God, break me, Lord, just break me. God is not breaking people. He doesn't do that. The Bible says present your body, submit. You have to make your body submit. You have to present it. Who has to present it? The spirit man. Present this shell a living sacrifice. Well, then that means you're going to have to discipline the shell to submit to your spirit, or it'll never be presented. All right? So while you're looking for God or the Holy Spirit to make you do something, the Holy Spirit doesn't make you do anything. The Holy Spirit sends information up. Now, it's your decision on whether or not you're going to submit to the information that came up. The Holy Spirit is saying, look here, it's 11 o'clock. You don't have any business at his house. Go home. Now you have a choice. See, the Holy Spirit is in line with the word of God. He's trying to get you out of trouble. Now, will your soul receive it or will your soul disregard it? Now, that's going to determine on how much of training, how much of discipline you've disciplined your flesh. Now, will your body and your soul team up and override your spirit, or will your spirit and your soul team up and override your body? That's going to be determined on how much how plugged in and how much of God you're walking in. Because how many of God's people, the Spirit of God says, go home. And your body starts feeling all kind of stuff. And before you know it, your mind starts thinking all kind of thoughts. And then the next morning you woke up feeling bad. Why did I do this? Because you didn't listen. Didn't the warning come? Now that's in that area. It comes in every area. Every single time God leads you through words coming up through a wisdom coming up out of your spirit, how much of it you yield to determines on how much you've submitted. So it says that you have to submit your body. It didn't say be led by your body. It says, no, you're supposed to submit your body. Make it bow its knee to your spirit and become a living sacrifice unto God. Amen. Now, let's look here at Colossians chapter 3. Here's why. You should not allow your body to run you, but you make your body submit. Now, I'm getting ready to say something that's probably sound a little weird to your ears, but it's absolutely true. God formed the beast of the field from what? The ground. Wasn't that true? All the animals came from where? The ground. Where did he form your body from? Same place. Your spirit was created, came out of him, but your physical body came from the same place the animals came from. Now watch what I'm getting ready to say. This is going to sound a little weird to your ears, but it's absolutely true. Your physical body functions on impulses the same way animals function on an impulse. It's no different. It's why it gets out of control. And you have to tame it, train it, just like you tame and train the dog, the elephant, the tiger. Because that's all is. Well, let me just read it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. It says, so kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desires lurking in your what? Members, that's your body. Those animal impulses and all that is earthly in you that employs in sin. And then it goes on and tells you what they are. Your body doesn't know how to do anything but just run wild. That's all it knows how to do. That's it. I'll just make it real simple and you can get this visual picture real quick. When you see a female dog in heat, what do you see the male dogs doing? One female dog trying to run away from 15 men, male dogs chasing her. When there's a woman involved, what do you see ungodly men who are out of control doing? Same thing. And that is in every area of the physical, animal, impulse nature that's on you. It happens with food. It happens with money. It happens in every single area because all it knows how to do is run out of control until you train it. You have to train it. Your body has been trained in the world system, however many years you operate in that system, and that system is running wild out of control. That's why men can lay with men, women can be with women, we can get high out of our mind and get on our hands and knees and eat the face off of an individual. That's why that can happen. Think about it. That's why you just, some people, they just sit and eat until they just can't eat no more and just or drink or shoot up or whatever the vice is. It's an impulse and it does it and your body will continue to do it. And here's what you don't realize is your physical body has been designed to expand to want more. And it'll make room for more. So if all you're doing is a bunch of hellacious things, you will grow and that you will grow up to and you will need more. Start out smoking weed. After a while, weed won't get you as high as what you need to get high as. And so now I need something stronger. Now, what do? You graduate. You start out drinking a beer. After a while, you want something stronger. You start out, it just grows. This is why God doesn't want you to be being led by your body. You become controlled by your body, no telling what you end up doing. I don't care who you are. You think you're as strong as, but I would never do that. Huh, that's what you think. Do you think the prostitute was laying on her back being a prostitute when they asked her in the kindergarten, honey, what you want to be when you grew up? I want to be a prostitute. You think that's what she said? No. And the very first time she lay on her back and did that, she hated it. Ask them, as most times when you watch these programs and you watch these women that have come out of that life, they will tell you, every single one of them have said, when we first started doing this, it was the hardest thing for me to do and I hated it. But now they've grown. So don't tell me what I won't do. You let the right situation hit you, you're doing some of it now. I'm not trying to beat up on the women, but it makes it clear. You're doing some of it now. What does a prostitute do? She sells her body for money on the street corner. Well, what's the difference in the prostitute on the street corner than you said, I can't let my man go because he paid my light bill. He paying my rent. It's the same thing. Come on, let's just be real. You just not on the corner. You're a little bit more sophisticated with yours. You do it at your house. It's the same thing. You have men doing it. I've never in my life seen so many wimpy women, men. Got to get my nails done, my feet done, and sit up on the couch and play video games all day. Come on. This is not a marriage. This is not a man. Let me get off that. But it's sad. So don't tell me what you will or will not do if you're being led by your body. Now, born again believers with the Spirit of God on the inside of you are not be living this way. Those animal impulses, it just says you kill them. You have something on the inside of you that's stronger than that. Take it and kill it. Get rid of it. Now, how do you do that? Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 25 says, now I have to read this from the Amplified Bible because I don't have a lot of time. It says, now every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temporarily and restricts himself, temperately rather, and restricts himself in all things. They do it to win a wreath that will soon wither. But we do it to receive a crown of eternal blessedness, which cannot wither. We discipline ourselves so that the blessing can operate. Therefore, I do not run uncertainly without definite aim. That means I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm not being tossed to and fro because I don't know what to do. My soul's not running me and my body's not running me. That's what he's saying here. He says, I do not box like one beating at the air and striking without an avenger. Adversary, rather. I'm not wasting time is what he's saying here. But like a boxer, I buffet my body. I handle it roughly. I discipline it by hardship and subdue it. So if you're going to train your body, you're going to have to treat it roughly. You're going to have to handle it and discipline and make it submit. You're going to have to take what's in your spirit and make your body submit. Now, don't tell me it can't be done. It can be done. or it wouldn't have been in the Bible. Don't tell me what you can't do. God, if you tell me that you, I just couldn't help it. What you're saying to me is that the Spirit of God in you is not strong enough to handle this little bodily issue. And that is saying that Jesus' death wasn't strong enough for you. That's exactly what you're telling me. Because if you're telling me that you couldn't stop, I just couldn't help not going to bed with him or going to bed with her. I just could not help smoking another joint. I just had to get high one more. I just couldn't help myself. That's a lie. You did it because you wanted to. Because you're still out of control. Your flesh is still out of control. See, we got to start getting honest with ourselves. You can take what's in you and train your physical body to obey God. Can't we train that dog to sit, roll over? Can you train the cat to use a cat box? Well, you can train that flesh that's created out of the same stuff that the cat, the lion, the dog, the tiger created of to sit down and shut up and listen to God. You can train it, but it's going to be uncomfortable. Remember, I said the body just wants to enjoy. So when you start putting disciplines on it, it gets uncomfortable and it doesn't feel good anymore. So I want to get out of this as fast as possible. So I'm leaving this church because they too hard. They legalistic down there. And I'm going to go over here because they don't say anything about me shacking up. Yeah. It's okay over there. Well, here's another one. Well, you know, I don't like them small churches because they in my business. I need a big church. No, that ain't why you don't like the small church. You like the big church because you go sit back in row 635 and nobody even know you was there. I come to church and fulfill my religious requirements on Sunday, get right up and meet my boo at 7 tonight, and it's all good. Come on, let's just be honest. That's what that is. Because disciplining yourself is uncomfortable. To all of us, it's uncomfortable when you want to get that third piece of cake and you knew you was only supposed to get one, but I just got to have that third. It's uncomfortable. That's why folks with diabetes and everything else still acting all crazy like they don't know what to do. Here you have dead and you still out of control because you haven't disciplined your flesh. You haven't done what Paul said. Treat it roughly. Handle it roughly. Discipline it to subdue it. Your spirit can subdue your flesh. Your spirit will subdue your mind. The word of God will put your soul in order. And we're getting ready to read right here where the word of God will put your flesh in order too. Hebrews chapter 4. I thought I was going to get further than this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit." So it is separate soul and spirit. And it also says, "And of the joints and the moral." That's dealing with the body. The word of God will set it all in order. It also says it even will judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. It has set everything in order. It's what God has given you to govern your life with. That's why the Ten Commandments are there. The only reason God put the Ten Commandments there because they didn't know how to govern their life. They were living like just like the beast of the field. So God said, let me set these in here because you bless people and blessed people don't live this way. And if you keep living this way, then the blessing can't do for you what it I've created to do. So don't steal, don't kill, don't rob, don't commit adultery, don't be covetousness. Don't go out and worship the world. Stay on over here with me. Let this blessing, let me lead and guide you into all truth and everything you need will be provided. it's much easier following God. It gets hard when you start thinking you know what to do and doing what you want to do. That's when life gets hard. How many of you live in it? I mean, come on, let's just be honest. We find right now in certain areas of our life, we're in a hard situation right now because we didn't listen. We didn't, and it wasn't God's fault. He told you. And God's so sweet, even after speaking to you through your spirit and you missed it, he sends somebody to confirm it. And you send it back in my, how did they know that? Who don't tell them my business? God did. Because you weren't listening to him. Trying to prevent the catastrophe. It's no different than when you're driving down the interstate. They got construction going on about, 25 miles up the road. You drive past a small sign about this big, said road work ahead. You keep on rolling, 70 miles an hour. Construction now, 10 miles up the road. Little bitty sign, now you got a big sign saying construction up ahead. Slow down, 55. And you blow on past it, still rolling, doing 70. You're 2 miles from the construction. They got gigantic signs, blinking stuff at you, flags waving, saying, roll out construction up ahead. I mean, everything, they got everything going on. And well, I don't believe that. 70 miles ahead and hit the thing down there and crash and burn. And that, well, why didn't they have somebody here trying? Why didn't small sign, medium, larger, blinking lights, barrels, flags. That's the Holy Spirit saying, Lewis, this is what happens. Lewis, don't do that. Well, let me even go back before that. We'll get to this. He don't even start out that way. He starts out with this gut feeling, something's not right here. That's where it starts. You blow past that, then you hear, Lewis, now, right, back up from that. Just that soft. Keep on blowing on past. You may get another one. Hey. That's the same gut feeling and the same, hey, back up from that. Now back up from that. 2 days later, say it again. Back up from that. You ain't paying attention. Small sign, big sign, medium sign. Now God, hey, Lewis, you know what I was praying the other day and the Lord said to tell you, back up from that. Now, Lewis really wants to do this thing. That's why he ain't paying attention to the Holy Ghost in the first place. Now he ain't mad at me because I'm in his business. Oh, somebody just done told you my business. I ain't coming down to that church no more. The next time I see Lewis, he done crashed and burned. What happened? Didn't listen to God. Told a story in here about when I was at Penn Valley. Told this on Tuesday. I had an opportunity given to me to go to another job. I didn't just jump and say, woohoo, I'm going to go. Because, hey, just because everything shined don't mean it's gold. So I went and did what I was supposed to do. I inquired of the Lord. And the Lord gave me a release in my spirit, said, you can go. God led me right on out of there and get go. 6 months later, I believe it was, I found out that the whole company I worked for had shut down. I didn't even know what was happening. Nobody knew what was happening. They just one day, it's over. We're done. I was already comfortably over here making more money, moving on. Recently, just trying to show you, recently, Quantrell and I know of a young lady that the Holy Ghost was nudging in that same way, trying to get them into another job. And I believe it was probably about 6-7 months too, wasn't it? Something like that. 6 months, 3 months, whatever. How many months it was, doesn't matter. It was way before learning last week, Friday is your last day because we're done with you. Now, how many months God been nudging? Not only was he, now, let me show you how good God is. Not only was he nudging, he was working through Quantrell to give the information about jobs. They were there available. Dragging your feet. Suspicious about somebody y'all wanting your business. Slow to act. and the window closed. Now, no job. You're done here. The window has closed on these jobs here. And now it's getting ready to be tough. Whereas your heavenly Father loves you so much that he can cause transition without pain. Every transition doesn't have to be painful. God can cause there to, can lead you through transition smoothly. Now, what would have happened if all these months ago when the jobs were being presented and they were given and you had favor because somebody could go down the hall and say, hey, I got this person putting an application in. Why don't you pick that up? How much easier would that have been? So when your job shows up and you find out that this company's done, you are already over here making money. Which one is easier? See, God is still going to help you. He's still going to help that individual. He loves her. He's going to help her. But she didn't have to go through the hardship to get the help. That's what I'm trying to get us to see. God is on your side. And whether you missed it or not, he's still going to help you. But you don't have to go through all the foolishness to get the help. Get the help up front and enjoy life. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all that is true. So we need to understand that the real us is a spirit. And God talks to us through our spirits. We're going to learn some things about that. You're not to be led by your soul. And you're to reprogram, renew it. Haven't you noticed in the Word of God that God never said he renewed your spirit? God never, to renew something means to renovate it. God didn't renovate your spirit. He gave you a brand new one. But you have to go and renovate your mind. And then you have to train your body. If you don't train your body and renovate your mind, I don't care how long you're saved. You can be saved full of all of the Holy Ghost there is to be full of, the blessing and everything else, and still live defeated. Because every time God says something to you through your spirit, your soul and your body will disregard it until you make up your mind that I'm going to be mature, I'm done with this toss to and fro business, and I'm getting ready to be led by the Spirit of God. And when God says go, that's where I'm going. And when God says do, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to learn how to hear him at the small sign. And not have to have the barrels and the flashing flags and lights flashing at me all the time. All right? All right. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of Jesus for your word. Learning how to be led by the Spirit of God. And I just believe, Father, the word has fallen on good ground and it will produce in the ears of the hearers, in Jesus' name, amen.